Hey guys, long time no talk. Welcome back to Totally Unrelated. We have a two-parter this week. This is part one. Part two will come out tomorrow. Reason being, it's just long, and I've never split an episode into two parts before, so kind of an exercise in seeing if I could do it. Yeah, that's basically what that's all about. But anyway, thanks for coming back. Appreciate all the love we got on the last episode, all the shares, likes, comments. Thank you. Please keep doing that. That's how the podcast will grow. We hit a summer lull where we were, I think we were less enthusiastic about the podcast, and I think people had things going on, just less downloads. I noticed it with other people too, but we're back in full swing. We got another one. We're going to do some new things, thinking about doing a live podcast coming up here soon, and also some game stuff. So all new stuff on the horizon. I want to give a big shout out to my friends over at MyFitnessPal. I have not been as interactive with you guys as I once was, but I'm still there every day. I had when I soaked my phone, who would have thought that a water-resistant phone couldn't handle going down a water slide and then being submerged in a pool four or five times? I was disappointed. But during that period of time, I lost my streak. I'd gone over a year of logging in every day to MyFitnessPal. If you don't know what MyFitnessPal is, it's it's like a fitness tracking app. It syncs with your Fitbit or your whatever tracking system you're using. And you can enter your food in. You can use it like Facebook. It's like Facebook for fitness people. It's basically the way I could describe it. But it's very comprehensive. It's how I stay in shape, and it, you know, counts all my workouts, tells me how many calories I burned and how many calories I can eat based on that and stuff. So when I log food, it's very helpful. But I have a lot of friends over there, and I think some of them are still listeners of the podcast. So I want to thank all of them. Slim168, MFP, Laura Cups, Tattooed Dolphin Girl 78, and LStrat115. You guys know who you are. Thank you for your comments. Tattooed Dolphin Girl had the suggestion of talking about the costumes that we had for Halloween when we were kids. And I think that's a great suggestion, but I want to save it till we get a little bit closer to Halloween. Elstrat had the suggested I talk about an embarrassing gym or workout thing. And that recently happened to me when I was on a jog. I was doing a 5-mile jog here in Columbus. There's this park that connects, I think like three parks are connected by this trail near my house. And, you know, when I go jogging, I have to get on the jogging gear. It's kind of like going out to play in the snow, but you're doing the opposite. And I get out on the trail, and it's a nice, nice trail. And I'm going to use the music, the Spotify jog to a rhythm or whatever, the tempo jog, where you you start jogging, and then it starts playing the music at the right tempo for you to maintain that run. If you want to set a record, that's a really good way to do it. It really helps. A lot of times I listen to podcasts, and I've noticed without a doubt, listening to a podcast is going to be my slowest run. And if I listen to music, it's going to be a slightly faster run. Can't explain it. But yeah, try that out. Anyway, I was doing it, and you have to set your tempo, and I wanted to set my tempo kind of high, so I set it before I started the tracker, the fitness tracker, and everything like that. So I set the tempo, I start the music playing, I start the Endomondo running app, I sync it to my watch, I put my phone away, and I get about 3 or 4 steps into the wooded trail part of it, literally less than 30 seconds into my run, and I have to pee. And I've had this happen before where I had the sensation that I had to pee, but I didn't really have to. But I'm 40 years old now, going on 41 in a couple weeks. And I've been noticing that the frequency of urination has gone up dramatically in the last year. And this was not a false alarm. So I was stuck with the dilemma of jogging further into the woods or going back to the park area for the restroom. And I felt like I was already on my way. The problem being is now I got to stop all my fitness trackers and everything and start all over again because, it's going to take me 30 seconds to pee. It's going to throw my whole run off. My time on my runs, 30 seconds is everything to me right now. 30 seconds is making or breaking my record. And so I had to stop. And then I'm stuck with the dilemma of, you know, just whipping it out in the woods, which it was not like anybody else behind me, in front of me. I didn't see anybody even in the parking lot when I started this run, but people ride their bikes along there and you can't time that. And, but Mother Nature called and I had to err on the side of, hopefully getting the benefit of the doubt and not just being some, flasher who dresses up like a jogger. I don't know why I'm so paranoid about that. One time when I was a kid, me and my friend, he lived down this long country road and, Ian Axelrod, we were riding our bikes back towards his house. We had just come over this bridge and it's a long gravel road. And maybe just 100, 200 yards up that gravel road, somebody had pulled their car and just stopped right in the middle of the road. So we had to go around them. And as soon as we get around, we kind of look back at the car because we heard somebody say something. And there was this old lady just squatting, taking a piss. And he said he saw everything coming out, but all I saw was like some urine, but I only looked for just a second. He stopped, and because he stopped, I stopped. But we thought she was, he said he thought she was asking him a question, but I think she was just telling us to keep moving. And I'm lucky that I didn't look longer because I think I might have severely scarred myself. We were probably like in third grade. But yeah. So I don't know if she was working out, but be careful where you pull over to take a wizard. I was always deathly afraid of my dad, who was not big on rest stops when I was a kid. If we had to pee and we were on the road, he'd just pull over the car on the highway, open the door, get out. I couldn't do it. It got to the point where I was debilitatingly afraid of doing that. And that's a story that I told on another podcast. So we're going to go into this story. It's me and Jay. Jay does a call in. I'm in Merrillville, Indiana, which is about an hour south of Chicago, and he is in Des Moines, Iowa, which is about 20 hours away from anything cool. We have a good talk. It's a long talk, so I split it up when the topic diverges, which just happens to be right at about an hour. So this first episode is called The Good Good, and the next one will be Drinking Stories. And I'll probably do another intro because there'll be more stuff to announce by then. So come see me in Chillicothe this week on Wednesday. That's debate night. I know you don't want to see the debates. I know you don't want to hear any more of those politics. So come out and listen to me talk about my junk. Just kidding. I'm working on my new set, which is all clean. I didn't notice it was clean until I started performing it. And it's still pretty rough around the edges, but I'm excited about it because it's about 15 minutes of linear material, which is not anything I've ever done before. So help me out, listen, give me some feedback. Love you guys. Stay unrelated. Thank you to my Fitness Pal friends. Thank you to all the people that came out to the shows this week in Merrillville and Spring Lake, Michigan was also fun. And yeah, love you guys. Take care. Enjoy the rest of the episode. Somehow we were talking about Canada, so I started talking about Tim Hortons and how all their food is dry. Now, this is a subject I've thought about for a long time, but never thought about taking it to stage. And I was like, I was like, their sandwiches are dry, their donuts are dry. I was like, even their coffee's dry. It's like coffee. It's like Sanka crystals. I said, if you go to Tim Hortons and then you go to Krispy Kreme, I said, Krispy Kreme got that wet. I don't even know what the fuck wet is.
You don't know what the wet is?
I mean, I know what the wet is, but I don't know what made me say the wet, except for the fact that you and I were talking about the good the day before, maybe.
The good's even better when it's wet.
Oh, man, you get some good wet? Some wet good?
Oh, motherfucker.
Watch out now. What's up with you, motherfucker?
Nothing. Fucking over here at, you played Des Moines or did it get canceled on you?
Nope, I did Des Moines with Josh Wolf, who I have become a huge fan of.
He's killer, dude.
Since then. Dude, I didn't even realize how monster he was. It's not even that, like, I liked him, I liked his comedy a lot. I mean, he is very funny on stage. I mean, but what I liked more was just hanging out with him.
His energy is just really fucking good.
Oh yeah, dude, he's killer. Dude, we had a fucking we had a good week. I did Liberty with him, and yeah, he's fucking, he's awesome, dude. Fun hangout, cool. Just a cool fucking dude.
Yeah, he is.
I'm like, dude, what are you gonna do with all this vagina that's bouncing off of you right now?
Oh, dude, he's so cool about it too. He was like, and we were both kind of in the same boat in Des Moines where people were like, you should come across the street and hang out with us, and we're going to have a whole party going on over there, and we're all going over. And each night, I was driving us back and forth to the hotel, and he'd be like, okay, let me go put my stuff in the car, let me go put my guitar away or whatever. And then we'd be walking out to the car, and he'd be like, do you want to go over there? And I was like, hell no. He was like, good call, let's go back to the hotel. So we bounced on everybody, and that was the first time of me being on the road where I didn't hang out at all with anybody except for, and I didn't even hang out with him once we got back to the hotel. So it was,
they were wanting to go out last night, and I fucking was not, dude. It took me like over 12 hours to get here yesterday.
Oh!
And I fucking, you know, I was up late the night before, so I'm running on like an hour and a half sleep, where I had to stop in, somewhere around Danville.
Yeah.
Illinois, and because I was like dozing off at the window, I was like, no, dude, just fucking pull over and take a power nap.
Right.
So I just pulled over and fucking crashed out for about 30 minutes, and then I was pretty good from that point on. I did have to, you know, getting so fucking tired again, I did have to stop here and there and at like a rest area and just get out and fucking stretch and shit.
What are you, what kind of car are you rolling in?
Ford Fusion, I believe.
That's not too bad.
For some reason, there's cigarette ashes all over this motherfucker.
Man, don't you hate that when you get a car and then a day later it's dirty?
Dude, it's the absolute fucking worst. It's fucking, looks like somebody took a cigarette butt and fucking burnt my initials into this fucking passenger seat.
That seems like a hate crime.
In my handwriting is what really is. That was my brother.
Somebody done kidnapped you, roofied you. Might have been my uncle. I
have to fucking vacuum this motherfucker out if I'm wanting any deposit back.
Yeah, well, that's the thing about, that's the dilemma for me with rental cars, because I have these frequent flyer points. In fact, I just got a letter saying if I don't use them by the end of this year, they're going to expire. So I basically have to fly to a gig I would normally drive to just, I hate to leave money on the table, but it's one of those situations where even when you fly for free, you pick up the cost of needing transportation once you get there, and unless you get the club to pick you up, which I don't know, man, I don't think I've ever had a club pick me up from the airport. I've always either Ubered or got the rental car.
Oh, not me. I always fucking ask.
The one time I asked, and it was the one time I really needed it, was Laughing Gas in Winston-Salem, where the airport's like 40 minutes away from the club, and I was like, I actually know the owner and manager, and I was like, yo, can I get a ride? He's like, yeah, we don't do that. Call a comic or something like that. And at the time, the only comics I knew weren't from there. And I was lucky enough to get a ride back to the airport from the comic, who was Adam Allred, super, super funny, super nice guy.
Yeah, he's a magician, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's cool, dude. That's fucking, that's 40 minutes away. Where did you fly into?
Fuck if I remember. I think it was the closest airport. Can't be Raleigh.
No, it would be,
What else is up there? I'm drawing a total blank.
Greensboro?
That's it. Yeah, that was it. And I think that's the only time I've ever been to that airport was for that gig. And the Uber, like an Uber Black picked me up, but he only charged me the regular Uber rate, which is...
What does race have to do with it?
I know, right? Because he was Asian. I was like, you're misrepresenting. You're appropriating, bruh.
You little short, yellow, Johnson. Motherfucker.
But the cool part about it was he got my bags, opened the doors, you know, he treated it like an Uber Black, but it was only a regular Uber rate, which was still like $80 fucking dollars, dude. That, and here's the other kicker of that show. is it was two shows Friday, two shows Saturday, leave out Sunday. Had to be at the airport relatively early. So Adam stayed with me at the condo that last night. And
Hold up. Did you say two Friday, two Saturday, two Sunday?
No, leave Sunday. Leave Sunday.
Oh, okay, right.
And so I get in early on Friday. It might have even been a Thursday show.
Yeah, they used to do a Thursday. I think they did a Thursday when you did your first one. Then they changed it to an open mic.
Oh, that's right.
And the headliner closes it.
Right. So I came in on Friday, actually. And when I got to the condo, like, the back door was open. Like, just not wide open, but, like, open a foot. You know, and so I was, like, looking around. They had, like, a TV, but it didn't work. It wasn't hooked up to any cable. There's no cable.
It was on the floor, right?
No, it was actually up on the mantle, which it was like a tube TV, but it was like a 30-inch, so it was like 700 pounds. I lifted it off to see what was going on with it, and so I ended up texting the manager. I was like, is there cable, Wi-Fi, anything here? He's like, no, nothing. So I was like, okay. And then I didn't get any cellular signal while I was there either. I mean, I could barely make a phone call, but I got no data. So I couldn't even, like, watch Netflix. It was the nicest condo that had the worst accommodations.
It was a killer. And you were with Danny Bevins, if I remember.
Correct. Another name I would have not pulled off. He's a super killer comic, but his voice was going out. And so he was kind of not struggling comedically, but struggling vocally. He was always, like, massaging his throat, which is, like, that's just not a good thing for stand-up.
Right.
To be in your own head about how your throat hurts.
But he didn't stay at the condo, right? I remember.
No, he had a hotel. I think he had his family with him, and so he was in a hotel. But I didn't sell a single shirt. I maybe sold two shirts in the first three shows, and the second show Saturday, I sold like $250 worth of shirts or something ridiculous, and. Damn. And the worst part about it was I was doing whatever you want to give me, you know, whatever you want to give me. But in a way it was bad, in a way it was good, because I had people, whenever I've done that, I've had people give me money and not want a shirt. If I don't do that, they've never just given me money and didn't want a shirt or something like that. So, but I had a couple people that bought a bunch of shirts, and that's what always helps. When somebody... Shout out to Jesse Hagberg. Whenever somebody buys like three or four shirts at one time, you've basically just ensured that my confidence is going to be high for, it's probably 24 hours per shirt that I sell. But maybe not that long, 6 hours. But it's one of those things that it's like, hey, I like the show enough that I'm going to take a piece of it with me.
Dude, you know what we could do? You should do like a Facebook Live video just for like a 5-minute sample of the podcast.
Well, and you know, I texted you the other day that I had an idea, and the idea was that we sit down and do that part of it together. And I actually saw, the reason I knew that is because Josh Wolf does that at the beginning of his podcast. He does it for like 20 minutes. I don't think we have that kind of... ability. We gas out after three, but if we could get to five eventually, I think that would be an interesting touch.
Yeah.
And you're the king. I can't say the king, but between the two of us, you're the one that's got the Facebook Live appeal.
Yeah, my shit's all stupid though. I get drunk and fucking just get a notion to fucking bed, so I never have a reason to actually do it.
Which I think is part of the allure of it too, because I have kind of a love-hate relationship with Facebook right now, but it's not because of the political stuff. It's more of just like a struggle between, like, do I put this on Facebook or do I write this down in my joke book or do I text a note to myself? And also, like, there's no amount of validation that I'm looking for from social media, but when you don't get it, you definitely feel unvalidated. So it's like, why do I keep going back to this well when the water doesn't even taste good? You know what I'm saying?
It's right. Like,
but I'm always fucking always on Facebook.
You're not looking for validation, but if you don't get any, then you have to go back to it to try to get validation.
Exactly.
Fuck this shit.
It's like a vicious cycle. What'd you say?
What is it?
But, look,
yeah.
I was just having this conversation with myself before you called about how the evolution of performing for me was one where it took me so long to get what I've got right now funny that now it's starting to rot on me where I'm like, okay, I know how to make this funny, but none of what I'm talking about is very important to me. And that is what's more important to me now is, but it's like, then I struggle with that confidence issue of, can I make any of it funny?
Right.
And that's what I'm dealing with. This is like my third, it's like my third or fourth time here in Merrillville. And, I've had some less than stellar sets here, but they've almost all been really good. In fact, I'd say some of my best sets ever have been here. And so I kind of have not an obligation to do new material, but a desire.
Yeah, one of your favorite clubs.
Man, it is.
Yeah, it's good. I like those ones where they where you can walk down the hallway and be to the club. It's the fucking best.
It is, dude. I'm right down the hall from the club, and that's what it was last night. It was my room was a little bit further, and I was on like the fourth floor. But here, I'm on the first floor. Checked in at noon. You know, that when you're performing at the hotel, there's almost never a problem with checking in at noon.
Right. They got y'all ready. Dude, when I got here, if I wouldn't have had an hour, you know, if I didn't have the time change yesterday, I don't know if I would have been able to get a shower before the show.
Wow.
It was fucking, but as soon as I got there, yeah, fucking Jay Schneider, Funny Bone, fucking dude. They have my shit already. Hand it right to me. Fuck it. I mean, it was the quickest, easiest checking that I've ever had.
What's the hotel there?
Hilton.
Yeah, it's a nice one, right?
Yeah, well, it's under a lot of construction right now, but yeah, it's nice.
There's not a lot of food within walking distance, if I remember. But isn't there a restaurant in the hotel?
Yeah, there's a restaurant in the hotel, and they give you little vouchers for breakfast and all that shit.
Yeah, that was what I... That's that shit I do like.
That's that good, good.
That's that wet, wet breakfast, man. Ain't nothing on that buffet drive. Mm.
Dude, when I was in... Richmond last week, so I just... That hurricane was coming through, so it's raining like a motherfucker, and so I was just fucking tired of sitting in my room, so I just went down and sat in the lobby, and, it was right at 3 o'clock. Everybody's checking in, dude. These fucking people that work the front desk, I could not believe how rude these motherfuckers were walking in, checking in. You know, I'm always very pleasant and fucking polite. And, I mean, these people were saying it wasn't such a nice hotel that it was pretentious.
Right,
and,
right.
So I'm like, yeah, oh, dude, but these people just fucking, like, you know, and they're all, anybody at a decent hotel at the front desk is fucking usually very professional, very polite and all that stuff. And people just like, this fucking little girl was just fucking trying to, you know, doing her pitch and shit. And they were just cutting her off, being so fucking rude. And there's like a whole line of people. And lady goes, okay, well, just go ahead and show us the facilities. And I'm just sitting there like, what? Bitch, here's your key card. Walk around this motherfucker. Right? There's going to be a gym, there's going to be a pool, and there's going to be your fucking room and some ice, all right? That's the fucking facility. Now get the fuck out of here.
It is amazing to me. It goes both ways, though, because I've had it go both ways, where I've been behind the desk of something where somebody was being, like, had that level of entitlement, like, okay, well, show me to my seat. I'm like, pick anyone that you want. You know, and sometimes you get into this kind of like smart ass off with people. But I learned probably the hard way that the best way is to just be like when they go low, you go high. It gives you so much more power to be aware that the person that you're dealing with is an asshole and you're not going to stoop to that level. It's almost like that's the game they want to play. It's the same game that happens on the highway when somebody's driving like an asshole and you see them in your rear view mirror and then they're still driving like an asshole when they pass you and now you're upset and driving like an asshole too.
Right.
And it's like I just had to realize I'm not playing that game anymore. I don't know what it is, but I'm compelled to race on the road. I'm usually the fastest person. You know what I mean? I'm usually pushing the speed limit the most. So when somebody acts like I'm inconveniencing them, I probably have a little bit of a chip on my shoulder. But you're not supposed to have that when you're working, right? Like, or to somebody that is working.
Yeah, I don't think so. But people are just dicks nowadays.
Some are, and that's what it is, and that's what we pay attention to. It's almost like we're expecting it, so we see it more. And when somebody's kind, we appreciate it, but it's not as memorable for some reason.
Yeah.
It's like poker. In poker, you remember the bad beats more than you remember the big wins.
Right. It's never been more true as, you know, people mistake kindness for weakness. It's fucking...
That probably has something to do with it.
Yeah, dude, you got to, you know, my theory is just grab life by the butt, you know?
And lead it around. And become rich and successful so that nobody complains about it. That's the key.
Dude, that whole thing, the most disturbing part to that is like, I'm like, really, the Donald? Tic-Tacs?
Right.
You're a billionaire, motherfucker. I got Tic-Tacs. At least upgrade to Altoids, you no good, rotten son of a bitch.
Fuck that. You need some Banaka.
You know, you want a Banaka? You want a Banaka?
You gotta get some Banaka down that throat. And here's the other thing about it is, like, he's like, it's locker room talk. I'm willing to dismiss the part that it's locker room talk and that part about they let you do it. Because to me, it's like, we all know that's true. We all know that you get away with murder. It's like the gift bags that they give away at the Grammys or whatever. They're worth like $250,000 to people that don't need it. You know, they're just hoping to get some brand recognition. So all these people get all these free gifts and, you know, rich guys get comped meals. And, you know, it's not like we give the most to the people that have the most and we take the most from the people that have the least.
Right, that need the most, right.
It's crazy.
The rich get richer, the poor get poorer. It's fucking absolutely true.
Well, I think the part that bothers me the most about it, and none of it bothers me, but if you had to say, well, what about this situation bothers you, I'd say nothing. But the part that I find most interesting that people are like, they're kind of fixing, I can't even say that because I know that there's people that are upset about this part too, but the fixation on the bad language, to me, the part about going after a married woman, knowing that she was married and still trying to get her to have a relationship with you, even if it's just a fling, it's not, even that to me isn't that wrong. You know what I mean? Like, like if I say to a married woman, hey, would you like to have an affair with me? And she says, no, thank you. And I say, okay, have a nice day. You know, that's not necessarily wrong. Exactly. But if I know you're married and I just want to bang you, so I take you furniture shopping and I do these other things, it just really does speak to the character of a person. You know what I mean? And it's like,
yeah.
People are like, well, he's not running for Pope. And I'm like, let's reflect back to when Obama was running for office and people were complaining about things that people he knew said. You know what I mean?
Right.
It wasn't really sound bites of things that he said when he was running for office. It was like people that were his professors in college or people that he studied with or the church that
pastor.
He went to. Yeah. They were, I mean, like his pastor almost kept him out of the White House. But his pastor didn't say anything near as inflammatory as shit that Donald Trump said yesterday.
Yeah.
It's like he gets a pass on everything. And I can't even say he gets a pass because people are saying it, but the fact that he got to the nomination, that he beat out real people that have made a life out of being in this business, and and they're like, well, he's not a politician, and that's why we like him. No, he's not a politician, but he's the kind of guy that's bought politicians. So
yeah, he's not a politician, but he's fucking very political.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't even know. Did you see, I saw the... Which I thought it was, I thought it was fucking like a spoof where he did like this press conference with these four women that.
Yeah.
Bill Clinton.
Yeah.
I was like, what the fuck is this?
It's a circus, man. And it's interesting. And I think as a country, we deserve this. We've brought this on ourselves. I mean, because let's be honest, Hillary is no better. The only thing that she's better at is
politics.
Politics. Yeah. I mean, being a politician. But it's a one for one. It's, you know, release your taxes, release the emails. You know, you make too much money. You make too much money. You know, you didn't do the right things with your money. You didn't do the right things with your money. It's like what it's always tit for tat, you know. And
the thing with the taxes doesn't bother me. If he used the loopholes for, who wouldn't? Yeah.
Right. Yeah. No, I'm not mad at that either. My only issue is like, don't turn around and act like you're gonna fix it. Like you're gonna change that. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Don't be like, I know the loopholes. I'm the only one that knows how to fix them. You're just going to make more loopholes. There's no way. This whole system is, and that's why I'm kind of like not worried about it, because to be honest, man, I think they figured out 200 years ago that this whole thing is way too important to leave up to fucking people. You know what I mean? There's probably 20, 30 people that make this decision behind closed doors. You know, I mean, the fact that Bernie was the ultimate candidate because he was talking about revolution, but he wasn't stabbing anybody in the face to do it.
Well, I mean, Hillary stole the fucking thing from him.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. Like, it was decided. Yeah, it was already decided. He was a sideshow. And then when he really got traction, they were just like, okay, well, we can't leave this up to the people.
Yeah.
It was all superdelegates that got her, you know, delegates and superdelegates, people that aren't regular, you know. Because here's the thing about voting that I don't understand, Jay. It's really simple. One person, one vote. You know, if you're not allowed to vote, you're not allowed to vote. But, like, it should really just be that simple.
You remember, like, when you're in school, all right, we're going to have a party. Who wants pizza and who wants whatever else? Well, the majority wins. The fuck? No, that's the thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Carrie's dad is a doctor, so her vote is actually worth 3 to our 1.
So. Right, right. And Jimmy's dad has a cheeseburger place, so he's actually got a couple extra votes, too. He's going to be a super voter in this situation. Yeah, it's one of those things where it's like the districting and everything, man. It's designed to make it so confusing that the average person wouldn't want to understand it. And then when the election goes all fucking crazy, they're just like, I didn't understand it to begin with. So it's almost like that. South Park probably has several episodes detailing the lunacy of all of this.
Dude, we're fucked.
Well, see, that's where I disagree. I don't, because I feel like what makes America great isn't our president. It's not our Congress and it's not our Senate. What makes America great is... the people. The people in this country occasionally come together or individually do something really amazing for each other or for somebody else or, you know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the way Time Warner with that bundle package, that...
you know exactly what I'm talking about then. Yeah.
I know what you're referring to. That was my idea.
It was the free HBO that I got last week that really kind of tilted the scales, and I was like, yes, these are some of the good ones.
What do you got tonight in Maryville? 2 tonight or 1?
Just 1, and the show's at 9:30 again, and I'm already an hour behind, so I'm like, I got to get some good sleep in today.
You got to get some good.
I got to get that nap. I gotta get me some of that nap on the good tip.
What do they have going on? Because there's always that big fucking theater or what was it? Like a big stadium or?
Yeah, like the Stardome or something like that, I think it is. Yeah, and you know what's crazy? I don't know what they're tearing down, but this hotel's going away after the end of the year. And I think the Dome is too. I think they're going to rebuild it, but there's no like... solid construction plan, I think, on where or when. I read an article about it. So I don't know what's going to happen with comedy in this area right here, but it's always been solid shows. In fact, I think last year when I was here, the show on Friday was sold out, and the show on Saturday was only half attended, but it was like Halloween. So it's crazy that I'm this close to being exactly 1 year away.
It's funny, it sometimes works out like that. Did you know Brad Scott out of Indianapolis?
Mm-mm. No.
He's cool as fuck, dude, great comic, but he had posted this article today that where Louis C.K. stopped at the open mic at Madison, Wisconsin at the Comedy Club on State.
Yeah.
And fucking stopped by and did a spot last night and insisted that they not bump anybody off the show for him to go on or whatever.
Right.
And
they're like, we'll clear the fucking room and start selling tickets right now.
Dude, can you imagine those? That's
one of the best clubs in the country. So Louis C.K. dropping in there to do a spot, I'm not saying that that's like a common thing at all, because him dropping in anywhere is probably pretty rare, but like, the fact that he played it that cool, like, no, just going to do a spot. That's awesome.
I fucking love it, dude. And also, it's like, that's why motherfuckers should go out and support these open mic, you know? Fuck it.
Yeah. You never know who's going to drop in.
Yeah, Brian Regan stopped in fucking Go Bananas in Cincinnati a few weeks ago.
Wow.
When Al Jackson was headlining. Well, let me tell you this cool story. I was in Albany, whatever, a month ago or so, and the host, his name's Steven Rogers, cool dude. So in Jamestown, New York, every year they have what they call a Lucy Fest, because where Lucille Ball is from Jamestown, New York.
Uh-huh.
And so they have this Lucy Fest every year, comedy show. And, you know, this guy's been doing comedy, I forget what he said, 3 years, something like that. So he goes up, he sees Brian Regan in the audience. And so he's just like, he's nervous, of course. He goes up first. And it's getting a pretty big festival. You know, big, you know, Seinfeld headlines him and, big acts close him out. And so he goes up. Brian Regan's in the audience. He said that he was just kind of, you know, usually, like, you see something that you avoid them when you're doing your set.
Right.
He said, and said he did the opposite, where he was just, like, playing two. Right? And he said that he fucking bombed because he was so nervous and all this and that. Well, fucking Brian Regan's fucking agent and managers and shit reach out to this kid on Facebook, and he thought that it was just somebody fucking with him or whatever, and wanted him to open for him at some university in Washington State. And so he doesn't believe it or whatever, and they keep at it or whatever, and they fucking get it fucking, you know, they're like, all right, call. So he calls, he's talking to him, ends up locking it down, he's doing two shows with him. Tonight is one and tomorrow's one. Opening for fucking Brian Regan, I think it's 3,500-seater. the cash is like $2,500 a set. Flew this motherfucker out first class. Flew him and his dad out first class. Put him up in the fucking, you know, the best hotels and all that shit. Dude, and it was just, and he's a fucking funny dude. He's a fucking cool, fun hangout. You know, just fucking, it's just shit like that. That shit just never happens anymore. You know, if we can get somebody to take us to fucking, fucking
breakfast.
Yeah, anywhere. Fucking Zany's in Chicago or Nashville.
No, like, man, that's highly aspirational. I'm still trying to get Vince Morris to take me to Wiley's.
Fuck, I'll take you, bro.
Thanks, buddy. Thank you.
I mean, I really need you to. I just need a ride. That's the only reason.
Right. If I could just get one guest set on Sunday at the open mic, that would be.
Well, I can't promise anything, but I will take you.
All right, cool.
Dude, when I went down there, who was there, Kostaki Economopoulos, which you've voted for Kostaki down at Wiley's, right?
Couple times.
And so it was Kostaki, Bowers, and Karen Jaffe was on. And so I went down to hang out and just watch the show, whatever. I had the weekend off. So I take an Uber from my place down there. And so if I put the destination under the Uber, they send me like this text that says, thank you for putting your destination in because your driver is hearing impaired or deaf. And I was like, all right, they've never sent me anything like that or whatever. So so he comes and he pulls in or whatever, and I get in. So I don't know if he's hearing impaired or deaf. So when I get in, I go very loud. I go, hey, how's it going, man? And nothing. I mean, fucking absolutely nothing. And so then I'm just texting Tom Dustin because Tom Uber's all over the place. And I said, like, I took a screenshot of the text they sent me, and I said, sent it to him. And I go, you ever fucking dealt with this? He goes, no. I don't believe it. I think the guy just knows how to get out of the most shitty conversations ever. So he's just acting like he's deaf. And so we get, you know, a couple miles down the road, and I realized this motherfucker got the radio on. And then so we get down to Wiley's, and I can't wait to fucking tell somebody. So I jump out, and Dan Seabree's there, and I'm like, dude, it's fucking fun, the whole thing. We're laughing and giggling. Then Powers comes out, and I'm telling him about it. I'm like, dude, this motherfucker had the radio on. I was like, I busted him. And Bowers is like, dude, that was for you. I was like, oh, shit, I never even considered. I just went straight to this motherfucker is trying to...
Right,
I don't know what kind of pyramid scheme you think you got going on, motherfucker, but I just busted your ass out.
Well, you know, hindsight being 2020, as soon as you said that, I was like, damn, where could I use this? Because there's a lot of times people are talking to me and I don't want to talk. In fact, this guy came up to me one time in Hawaii. I was sitting in my car, I was using a payphone. Remember those? And this guy just walks up to me and hands me a business card. And on the card it says, you know, I'm deaf and homeless and hungry. And it's like all typed out, right? And if you can help, cool. If not, please just hand me the card back. And so I just handed him the card back or whatever. And he was like, thank you. You know, it was like, I could tell it was a good act if it wasn't real or whatever. But I was broke as fuck when I lived in Hawaii. But I remember thinking like, oh, that's a really interesting hustle. You know what I mean? Because like when you read it, it's way less abrasive than somebody like, hey man, you got a dollar? Because that just seems lazy. But then I'm like reading this card and I'm like, oh, this guy actually went through some shit.
Right. I would have just said, yeah, dude, sorry, I can't read. And I'm deaf and fucking broke and hungry too. So
I might have dropped the deaf part. I might have just been like, what would be like an acceptable affliction that I could just, I'm just real stupid. Hey, man, I'm just real stupid, man. I ain't got no cash.
Sorry, I'm dumb and fucking. I ain't got no wiener. Well, she will in a minute if everything goes right. She'll have that good.
Yes, sir. Oh, shit. Man, I was thinking about going over to get some food over at Hooters, but then I realized I was like, who ever went to Hooters because they were hungry?
They got pretty good wings, but you can't eat chicken.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, no shit. Yeah, you're not going there for the fucking... Yeah, you're going there for whack-off material for that good.
I'm trying to get some wet over there at the good. The thing I don't like about Hooters is, the thing I can't stand about it, to be honest, is all food aside, is the, so it seems like there's always flies, and no matter what time of year, and then I don't like those stockings that they wear.
Oh, I've never noticed.
They wear like these leggings that are like old lady, I mean, it's basically like, imagine if you were wearing yoga pants, but they were flesh-toned. Like the old lady leggings, stockings, like the old brown pantyhose. That's the word I was looking for. It's the pantyhose. It's like they're all the same uniform brown, thick. It just reminds me of like a girl putting on her grandma's pantyhose. I don't know. There's nothing attractive about it. Everything's so tight and hiked up. It looks like 1980s came back.
Looks like the '80s came back and tried to grab you by the puss.
And plus, I also don't lie. I like a uniform. I want to see, because I don't need, like, a girl with a nice body or, like, a classically shaped, you know, classically physique or whatever, what we would consider, in tight clothing. That's pretty common. You know what I mean? I'm trying to see, like, the full-figured woman who doesn't give a fuck, you know?
Yeah.
I feel like they should have more diversity in the shape.
Yeah, I want to see somebody where they come over and they fucking set my food on the table. I want to see some weld or ass crack sticking out.
That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. Like, I got to go do my shift at the factory.
Dude, do you know who Tom Mabe is?
Yes.
M-A-B-E?
Yes.
Got some of the best fucking prank videos on YouTube that I've ever fucking seen.
Yeah, that's what he's known for, right?
Yeah, but he's also a great... great stand-up comedian.
Okay.
But he's got one where he goes to Hooters, and he's got the whole fucking outfit. He's got the shirt on, the short fucking shorts, probably even the fucking pantyhose. I don't know. Anyway, so, like, it's just dudes that go there to fucking, you know, be creepy or whatever.
Perv, yeah.
And you don't go there because the fucking... the nutritional value.
How many calories? Can I get a calorie count?
So he comes out and he's got his fucking notepad and stuff, and just the look on these people's faces when they're expecting a young girl with big tits to come out or whatever. And they're like, yeah, can I stay? You know, and he's going over the menu. Yeah, the specials are this, this, and this. And he's like, I'm really sorry. He goes, I normally just like wash dishes, but one of the girls called off and they fucking needed me out here. Oh, dude, but he's fucking know it. And so then one table goes like, he goes, is this okay? Can we get a different server? And one table goes, yeah, dude, I'd rather have a different server. And so fucking one of his buddies, who's a big dude, fucking, you know, he's 280,
mm-hmm.
old head, fat, fucking, he comes out, and he's dressed in the exact same shit. he's like, do you want me to get a different server? They're like, yeah, so then they sent this motherfucker out.
Hilarious.
dude, it's fucking hilarious. Dude, he's got some of the funniest fucking shit. Just one more real quick. He's at like a bus stop, and he's from Louisville. But he was at the bus stop, and and he was doing it to everybody. But like these black people would walk up, and he's just standing there, not doing anything, and he just fucking. And so the guy will walk up, and he'll jump up, and he'll be like, "Look, man, look, I don't want any trouble," and fucking just pulls his wallet out and fucking, and then takes off fucking running, right? And so then, and most of them, like, are fucking, like, huh, like, fucking, they, like, slapping the wallet away and shit like that. And, so he just takes off fucking hauling. Look, I don't want any trouble. And he just fucking takes off hauling that. And then he'll fucking come back around a couple minutes later, and he'll be like, look, dude, I just fucking, look, there's a Texas Roadhouse coupon in there. I really do. And then he fucking grabs the fucking gift card out and just fucking takes off hauling ass again. Throws the wallet back. Oh, dude, it is fucking hilarious. Oh, my God, dude. It's funny.
I was going to risk my life for this Roadhouse gift card, man. Come on. Let me pass.
Oh, but everybody's like, you know, what the fuck, dude?
I had a similar situation. I thought I was being pranked yesterday when I was, before I left, I went to check the mail, and somebody's mail was just, like, on the ground, and it's like a bank of mailboxes, so you gotta use a key to get your mail or whatever, and they're small, right. And then there's, like, the mail people have, like, a little tag at the front lip, which makes pulling the mail out easily, like, it's impossible. I can't fit my whole hand in there. I have to put it flat, squish it down, and then pull it out, and then it hits this tag every time. So I'm about to tape the shit down. So I can understand how somebody dropped their mail. But in some of the mail that was dropped was what looked like somebody's paycheck. And it could have just been like direct deposited, and this was the part that they mail to you or whatever. But I was like, ugh. And there's no addresses, like the mailboxes are just random. There's no rhyme or reason to which mailbox you get. So I would have had to go like to the person's house and deliver it. And I thought that'd be extra weird. So I just set it on top of the mailbox. Then I was like, oh, what if the wind blows and blows it behind? And I was like, you know what? It's not even my problem. So I just have to let it go. But then I thought, like, what if I went back and got the paycheck, you know, and just tried to cash that? Because who doesn't want to cash somebody else's paycheck from time to time?
Yeah, and you can just do the fucking digital scan on your phone and have it.
I never even thought of that. You know, the only thing about that is, and it seems like there's no way that they could trace it back to me. Yeah. You know, other than the fact that I deposited it into my own checking account.
Nope, still wouldn't be able to.
Seems like a dead end to me, Yeah, once they give me the money, it's gone, right? One time when I was in college, this girl I was dating, we had broke up, but she went, like, she went the dark way. She started dating black guys and became a stripper. But
put her on the prayer list, everybody.
Everybody. But she tried to tell me that these guys she was hanging out with were trying to get her and her girlfriend to run this scam, an ATM scam, where you put, you make deposits into the ATM, but there's nothing in the deposit. You know, like you say you make a cash deposit into an ATM for $500, and then you go to a different ATM and pull the money out. And then when the bank's like, yo, there was no money in that, they'd be like, well, then the person that got the money out of the ATM that collects the money for you stole it or whatever. And I was like, that is the dumbest scam I've ever heard in my life, because you're going to be out your own money plus anything else the bank decides you're out. The bank never loses in those types of transactions.
Yeah. And the motherfucker, you're getting fired.
Right. Exactly. That was the worst part about it, is like you're going to do some shit and then blame it on somebody. So basically, like, let's go rob the bank. And when they say, did you do it? Be like, no, it was Tom who works here.
Yeah.
Who I don't know.
Yeah, it was Tom. You know, he did it with the fucking candlestick. And the fucking...
That's a game of Clue. I just, what it reminded me of, like what I was left with after that transaction, which was like, it was a short transaction, but it was dumb. And I remember thinking, like, I'm so glad that we're not dating anymore. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't, like, it's not like she started dating other friends of mine. She went thuggish ruggish, which was something that I always was strange to me. Like, what draws somebody into, like, no, I like being, you know, people being afraid of me or being afraid of the people I'm with. I don't ever understood what, like, somebody, like a normal suburban, because that's what she was like. Her dad was a preacher, which probably said a lot to do with it. She went a very dark path. In fact, she's probably one of the only exes I have in my entire life that I have no idea what happened to.
Sounds to me like she fucking got beat into the fucking crypts.
That it wouldn't surprise me if she was like Griselda Blanco, or like, you know, like the some queen kingpin, you know, drug dealer. She probably is a lesbian by now. Not that there's anything wrong with that. I'm just saying, like, she's probably just super hardened. She's probably been to prison a couple times.
I mean, I think they made the movie Jackson Brown off of her fucking
life story. She was the Samuel L. Jackson character.
You don't even know how proud I was that I got the name right. And I do not even remember what the fuck that was about, but I was
It's actually Jackie Brown, but I think I knew exactly where you were going with this.
No, this is the porn parody.
It's actually Jack I Brown.
It's Jackson Brown, three words.
Jack, son, Brown. That's terrible. What do you got planned for this evening in Des Moines?
Nothing. I'm just gonna go over to the show. I was fucking last night was, because Jake Johansson's pretty clean.
Yeah.
And of course I am. You know that.
Yeah. I mean, like, when we met at church, I was like, this a God-fearing boy right here.
Yeah, but there was something I said on stage last night, which was just kind of out of nervousness to try to, because some lady goes, where are you from? Or something like that. And so I just kind of went off the script and went with that for a second. But I posted this picture earlier this week. My brother and sister-in-law took me out to lunch down in Jackson and saw the juvenile judge who messages me pretty regular on Facebook and stuff, and he's just fucking very encouraging. And
wow.
Anyway, so when I was in Richmond, he had went and watched Jerry Seinfeld up in Toledo. And so when he got back, he just messaged me, I just went and saw Seinfeld, and I have a lot of respect for what you do, and it's fucking, it can't be easy, and all that stuff. So, but then so we got lunch, and I see him. So we're chatting, and, you know, he was always a good dude. I mean, he did lock us all up, but it was always for shit. You know, we were guilty. I don't hold this against him anymore.
This fucker done locked us up. We was guilty, but damn.
Yeah, I have a heart, motherfucker.
Right.
So we're just sitting there bullshitting or whatever, and I thought it was fucking cool, you know, and Tap says, like, he goes, oh my God, didn't you just want to beat these guys? He goes, yeah. He goes, but they were always into, trouble for so many years, but they always had, some charm, and I knew that they were good kids and all this stuff, and
did? We didn't know that.
Yeah, we didn't know about you, son of a bitch. And so I go, because I thought he had retired from
judging.
Yeah, from judging. Now he just does it as he people watches.
He does it amateurly.
Yeah. But I go, are you still a judge? He goes, yeah. And I go, when did you, I go, how long have you been a judge? He goes, oh, about 25, 26 years. And I go, that's right when, I go, we got into the business at the same time. and that's what I said on stage last night. And I got a really big fucking laugh, I didn't know why it got a laugh.
Yeah.
Like today, I'm like, I need to fucking figure out, you know, what.
Did you record it?
No, but I know it was very brief the way that I got into it. I just basically said, no. I went to the lunch last week. I saw the judge that sent me and my whole family to fucking jail. I asked him how long he had been a judge, and he said 25 years. I go, damn, man, we got into the business at the same time. And I just got a fucking big laugh or whatever.
But yeah, I can see that. Now that makes good sense. That makes good sense because, and I don't think you need a whole lot of setup or premise. I mean, the premise is built in. You know, he's a judge and juvenile judge. And no, that's mathematically it seems to work perfectly. But I have a similar situation myself with a joke I've been doing about getting in shape and running 5Ks and stuff, where I'm comparing like how far you have to run to get away from something, you know, some shit. You know, it's probably about 3 miles. 3 miles to reach minimum safe distance. I was like, so I run a 5K, which is 3.1 miles, because I don't want to gas out at like 2.99, you know, because it's raining or something like that. So 3.1, and I got a laugh with the 3.1 the first time I ever told it. Then told it two more times, and the 3.1 got nothing. And then last night, it worked again. And I don't know what it is that I'm doing differently that has that work or have it even be funny, because the first time I said the 3.1 part of it was like just a one-off because I hadn't written the joke down. I was just doing it riff style.
Right.
Which I think is probably it's not the least insightful way to do it, but if you don't go back and listen to it or go back and try to, if you don't have some sort of metric for measuring how well it's doing as it evolves, you just keep throwing different things at it, it'll take longer.
Yeah.
In fact, I'm recording this whole thing on a notepad at a desk because I'm like, I gotta force myself to write today. And the last time I wrote 20 pages of stuff that was just, I don't
It's
want to say
all
it's,
shit.
yeah, I don't want to say it's unusable, but it was just like, it was more of like the extra, I hadn't written in so long that it almost came easy to me, like writing out these ideas. And the thing that I couldn't come up with was any kind of a conclusion or why is this important to me or why am I even talking about this? And that's what Titus did for my one joke that's working, worked really well last night. He was like, I was telling him I had a hard time coming to up with a conclusion for some of these jokes, and he was like, well, tell me the joke. And I told him the joke, and he did not give me the formula for coming up with the conclusion, but he did come up with the conclusion very quickly, which was indeed the premise of the joke. So what I realized in that exercise was, I'm doing my jokes dyslexic. I think I'm giving them the punchline, but in reality, I'm giving the premise. I need to, some of these jokes I've got, I need to kind of reverse the punchline and the premise because I feel like I'm giving it away early or I'm not setting it up correctly.
I've always felt like you were doing it backwards.
Yeah, right? Like I'm the one laughing.
That's fucking great. You're not supposed to start a joke off with you laughing. Oh, this is great. You guys are gonna love this. Ah.
Oh God, that shit's hilarious.
So every punchline ends with, "Well, I guess you had to be there."
Yeah, that's what she said. Oh.
Oh fuck! They were last night's crowd was they actually it was a lot better. But there was one gay guy, second row back, that was fucking with me, not necessarily heckling, but kind of just
Not
fucking
helping.
with me.
Yeah.
Yeah, just fucking with me. And I fucking looked at him a couple times because I couldn't tell if they were table talking or what. But then it was obvious that, that he was fucking with me, but not in a way to where I could really even fucking deal with it. To where I don't think anybody else even noticed it. But he's like kind of making fun of my laugh. Or that's how I felt. Or maybe he just had a fucking stupid laugh of his own.
Right.
But I couldn't, it was in no point where I could be like, all right, look, motherfucker. Because then it's just going to look like I'm fucking going off on somebody. So I just kind of muscled through it or whatever. And but they were a really older crowd, and very there was a lot of older women, like tables of a lot of women. But like tonight, so Jake Johansson's from Iowa,
Ah.
so he hasn't been here for like 6 years, and so it's gonna be pretty fucking good show. So I'm expecting to have a good night
Me too.
tonight.
I don't know who the headliner is here tonight. I think I saw, so looked it up a couple weeks ago, but the profile picture that they used for me for the club is the cover art for the cast.
Nice.
The picture you took of me with my arm around Abraham Lincoln,
Right.
which
Yeah,
is
that's
probably
all.
the single most liked picture I've ever had on social media.
Yeah, I really captured your essence in that one.
I'd say you stole it, but I'm over it now. I ain't all mad about it anymore.
Statue. You stole it. Remember we put it in the press?
Remember, we got way less gas mileage. Shit, I almost threw my back out last night trying to move the merch table, and it was terrible because the guy, I mean, it wasn't terrible, but we had to walk across the showroom. Like, we cut through basically half the audience to move a small tabletop that was like, it was like a high top, but it was a small circle on the top, and it had like a wrought iron base, so it weighed like 180 pounds. It really did take two people, but we had to like, shuffle across the view of half the audience in front of the headliner to do it. And that was embarrassing. But then I got out there and sold a couple t-shirts. I think I sold three or four t-shirts, which, man, selling four t-shirts at a show like that is awesome. And I did that State Theater, and you did that show, right? In
Yeah, Miller Show, right?
well I'll tell you, it was interesting. Dan puts this show on, Dan Dean, Midget Radio, Irish I Was Laughing Productions. Check it out. Been a guest on the cast, I've been a guest on his cast. Anyway, he went up, and I think he had it in his head that he had to do new material, and it's I know that feeling. It was like I was right there with him. And it's one of those situations where you're like, I know half the people in the audience have heard everything I've got, so you just try something different, you know, and your confidence isn't right there or whatever. But the fact of the matter is, you, in a situation like that, especially going first, you have to play to your own strengths, not what you think the audience wants to hear. You're really, as going first, what you're really doing is just laying down a drum beat. I've never been more aware of this, of just getting them to understand that the idea of a setup and a punchline and when to laugh. And once they've got those cues, it's time to pass it on. And Dan, some of his newer stuff is more evolved comedy. It's stuff that I'm like, yeah, man, you should be working on this, but not from the front spot. And it was funny, but it was like to the comics who were like, could see the parts were laughing. And I think the audience was kind of like, oh, it was slow to warm up. And then,
how long did he do?
Well, that's hard to say. I want to say he did 10 minutes, but it might have been 15.
I think when I did it, I think he did about 25 or 30 up front.
Did he go up in between?
I don't think so.
So he didn't do any material in between us or anything like that, but he did bring us all up on stage.
Yeah, but, yeah, he brought us all up, but he didn't...
squeeze anything?
Yeah, he didn't squeeze anything. But
how many people were on your show?
It was a lot. About six?
Yeah, it wasn't that many on this one. It was he went up, and then Jay Armstrong, and then me, and then Katrina Brown. Oh, no, I'm sorry, I got that wrong, man. It was him, then Rob Wilfong, then Jay Armstrong, then me, then Katrina Brown. And man, Rob Wilfong is fucking hilarious, dude. A guy that I think I met when I first started doing comedy, and when I first saw him, he didn't do well for the audience, and I didn't get it. And then the next time I saw him, I was like, oh, I got to go after this guy. This is going to be easy. And when I say I still had tears in my eyes from laughing when I had to go up on stage, and I got up there and realized there's no way I'm following this guy. There's just no way. I'm not even remotely going to give the audience what he just gave them. It was the hardest thing I ever had to do was follow him. And I did it one other time where I actually headlined a show where he went up right before me, and I figured out, you know, you just got to reset the stage and do your thing and not be worried about what happened before.
If it's his audience, dude, it's fucking killer. But like everybody, you know, I've seen him go up, like we all have in our own sets, go up and struggle. I think that he's better, like, when... not in the one spot. Anytime after that, where once they get warmed up, I think it's just too much for them right off the gate to fucking try to wrap their mind around what the fuck he's doing.
That's true.
How would you explain his act to
somebody who's never seen it? So what I would say is that there's probably several different adjectives to describe the different types of stand-up. You know, once you get into the realm of, like, stand-up comedy, you know, you have the observational comic, you know, the Jerry Seinfeld, the kind of person who can be funny standing still, right? And then you have the more physical-type comedians that are, like, moving around or maybe even use props to
Robin
get...
Robin Williams.
The Robin Williams or the Carrot Tops even or whatever. Just the type of person that the comedy is very physical as well as spoken. And then you got a guy like Rob Wilfong, who is, I would say, the closest thing you could compare it to is like a more modern version of Howie Mandel, but there's not really...
Kind of Mitch Fatale. Do you remember who Mitch Fatale is?
Yeah, but Mitch Fatale is a lot less animated than Rob is. Rob's got like a physical component to what he's doing in that... And what's funny about Rob is he's got... pearls of wisdom about performance that a lot of guys don't even think about. You know what I mean? Like, Rob's thinking about things because of the way he does his act that a regular Jerry Seinfeld type of guy would take him years to figure out, because there's not a lot of physicality to what's going on. Like, I've just recently realized that, like, I could get laughs with blinking or moving my eyes side to side. Basically, Rob's much more of a physical act, and it's an amplification of who he really is, but so much so that, like, you could watch him do 30, 45 minutes, and then you'd go out after the show to meet who the headliner or whatever, meet him, and you would have no idea who you're going to deal with. You know what I mean? If he was that guy all the time, it's like, sometimes I don't know if he's getting laughs because people believe he is that guy, and to some degree he is that guy.
Yeah, I think I would agree. And a fucking good dude, man.
Super
funny,
nice
dude, man. He's a funny dude, man. I'm doing a show for him in a couple weeks.
Won't book me.
What's that?
I said he won't book me for anything, but he did book me for a show one time, and I spilled a drink on myself as he was introducing me to the stage, and it was not my crowd, but it was an interesting lesson in going on stage with a plastic cup, which I will never do again.
Like someone else's dream, he says it's alright. street says it's alright. We'll be dancing tonight. There's an angel in your pocket. She seems kinda lost, like a southern bound wind. She whispers it's